What's going on, everybody? We are back. This is NBA Therapy, episode 18. The conference finals are almost here. We have three teams that are officially in. Playoffs are slowly, they're going to slow down. We're only about to get a game a day. I'm joined by my co-host,
Stephen Pack. Sorry about that.
And honestly, I don't know what to think because NBA playoffs are going to end soon, and I'm really going to miss it, but football starting soon, that's good. It's just the way this season ends is going to be, it's going to be very, I feel like, emotional. It's going to be huge just because all the stuff that's happened to get here, whether it was through the pandemic or the Black Lives Matter movement, there's been so much going on, and I'm just not ready for it to end yet, but I know we still have time. We still have like a month and some time. But it's been crazy. Steven, how you feel?
I'm so ready for the conference finals because our picks are going to happen soon.
We actually picked the same finals, if you guys remember a few podcasts back. We did our basically just filled out our playoff brackets. I have to say, I missed out on one pick. I didn't know Milwaukee would lose in five to the Miami Heat. Didn't think that was going to happen. I don't think anyone else did.
But you almost had a perfect bracket.
Almost. But we both have Lakers and Celtics in the finals. And you know what? I still feel that way. That's going to happen. Last time we recorded, Houston was up 1-0. And I think we spent maybe a minute on it because me and you just, there wasn't much to talk about considering it's LeBron. And I didn't really expect what to happen. And I just thought it was funny how, you know, and this is exactly what happened in the Portland series. I'm getting all these texts like, oh, this is going to be a good series. This is a horrible size matchup for the Lakers. They can't run out there. They can't run out like McGee and Dwight. Like, they can't play in this series. Houston's guards are so much better than the Lakers. They're just going to roll them. LeBron's going to have trouble, you know, finding his shooters because Houston's just going to guard the three-point line. They're actually going to play way better defense than Portland. And what happened? None of it mattered. None of it. And the Lakers just dominated them. And this is why I think it's crazy when we somehow doubt LeBron James every time he's in the playoffs. I mean, when the stuff that he's been able to do this year at not just a two-way ability, but just like, we're winning this game and I don't care, in year 17 and at the age he's at is just, it's just mind-blowing because I never would have expected this to happen of anyone to play like this at such an elite level. Like, he's dominating these games just on the defensive end, let alone the offense. I think he's blocked Russell Westbrook 30 times in this whole series, and it's been five games.
His defense has been absurd this series.
Every time I look through Instagram, it's a video of LeBron blocking Westbrook or, like, dunking on someone.
Yeah.
I mean, just in game three where he had four blocks, I mean, the dude still scored 36 points and shot 50-40. But the big thing about that game was just that he totally changed it on defense. And look, I know we give Harden and Westbrook a ton of stuff for the playoff woes and whatnot, but those are two amazing scorers, two prolific scorers. And the fact that LeBron can just come into a game and limit what they're doing like that on a defensive end is just, I mean, it's extraordinary. And I tip my hat to him every time he does it. And the Lakers move on, and they're in the Western Conference Finals, and that's the first time since 2010, I want to say. Or maybe they might have been in 2011. I can't remember.
No, 2010. It's 2010. Yeah,
2010.
I think they lost Thunder in the second round.
Thunder made it in 2011. It was Thunder Mavericks. But yeah, 2010, they were there. And it just goes to show how great LeBron is, because this team is completely different. It's literally LeBron Davis and a bunch of parts. They played well. These guys have played well. They've come in and done the job. Playoff Rondo's back. Kuzma's had some moments. Caruso. But, like, how many players can you just stick on this team and they're a lock to get to the Western Conference Finals? Like, there was never, throughout the entire season, honestly, like, a shred of doubt that they'd get to the Western Conference Finals. Did you ever doubt Lakers would get to the Western Conference Finals?
We never doubted it, but you know, I think a majority of people actually had some doubt.
And that's why I just find that so crazy.
You know what I also like? I kind of don't listen to mainstream media anymore. Just because I feel like they put out so many opinions because I feel like they're forced to not make too aggressive. Like, they try to be conservative. So don't take back a lot of, like, opinions based on, like, whatever's going on in the NBA, and they won't make what they actually think. That's just how I feel. But I do want to talk about this Lakers-Rockets series because LeBron is still the best player in the world, and I'm probably going to reiterate a lot of stuff in this podcast.
Oh, so what were you saying about LeBron?
Oh, I was just saying that I feel like I'm going to reiterate a lot of stuff on this podcast, but like I just feel like a lot of stuff is just repeating, like a lot of these themes, you know. But like we said, game one was a feel-out game, and LeBron took it to a whole new meaning, and he showed it here again.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's crazy that
he does that. It's crazy that he just kind of like not gives the other team a game because he's not doing that, but he literally uses it just to feel them out because he's that confident in himself. Like, it's crazy. He's never played Harden or Westbrook in a playoff series. I mean, he played Westbrook once, but I mean, he played them both once, but that was when they were babies. I mean, like, the fact that he's never faced prime Harden or Westbrook in a series, and the fact that he was just like, I'm just going to feel it out, but we'll be good. And he's with this whole different team, like, and it just doesn't matter. Like, he just dominates them. It's crazy. And we see it so much that we get, like, accustomed to it, but I can't take away from the fact of how great stuff he's doing. Like, just how great it is.
LeBron can get a stop on any player defensively when he wants to, and that's all that matters.
I agree. I think also, I think you filed it away that he didn't get an all-defensive team. I think he was like, all right, I'm going to file that away.
Yeah. He puts the fear of death in opponents after those blocks from behind, which has to be more demoralizing than any other type of block. Like, imagine going up for a layup, and you're probably going to twitch because no matter how open you are in the layup, you have no clue if LeBron James is behind you jumping.
I mean, let's just be honest. 2016, Game 7 of the Finals, Iggy could have went up strong, but he kind of, like, shied under. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He kind of, like, JR had, like, an okay contest, but, like, Iggy still, like, could have went strong. Iggy's way bigger than JR, but he kind of goes up a little weak, and then LeBron comes flying in and pins it off the backboard and makes one of the great defensive plays of the year, the decade, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something that can't go unnoticed.
Guess LeBron's record in his last 16 closeout games.
His last 16?
Yeah.
13-3?
15-1.
Holy. What?
And that's probably the most important type of game other than an elimination game, which he's also exceptional in. Like, LeBron James, when it matters, I want him.
That's actually mind-blowing that it's that high. 15-1? Which one did he lose? That's what I want to know. Who beat him? It's probably the Spurs. I feel like the Spurs may beat him.
LeBron, also, his teammates are gaining an incredible amount of confidence, which is typically when his teams win, which is for why sure. I do like the Lakers over the Clippers.
Yeah, like, I see the Clippers and, well, not the Clippers, I see the Lakers during this Rockets series, and those guys just get so hype when they make baskets and stuff. Like, the bench was going crazy in that game 5, where the Lakers were already up 3-1, and it was kind of just a closeout game. Everyone kind of figured the series was over, and the bench just would not stand down. Like, they were just getting hype about everything. And you look at the Clippers, and they're like, it's just like they're all, like, kind of there. You know what I mean? And it's not like those guys ride with each other like the Lakers guys do. And it all starts at the top of the leadership. Do you, like, I don't even know who the Clippers leader is. I don't think they have one. Like, I guess Kawhi leads by example, but, like, an emotional leader and a guy that, like, you know, just gets everyone through it and, like, talks it out, rallies the troops. I don't know who that guy is for them. And I know it sounds like a cliche, but this stuff really does matter. As much as people don't like to think it does, it really does. It's all about the intangibles, especially when it comes to these later rounds. That's who wins.
Yeah, I think Doc Rivers, though, I think he knows how to manage stuff like that.
Because he's one of the best coaches for stars.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that Celtics team even had a definitive leader until... I mean, maybe Kevin Garnett, but
KG,
like...
Yeah, KG.
No, he was the leader, but... I mean, Rondo's been exceptional in this series.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it shows that even though it's a shooting league and some skills matter more than other skills, it all... A lot of it comes down to experience, IQ, and championship DNA.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and I also guess LeBron's record in conference finals.
Like, of games or of if he won the series or not?
Series.
Hold up. Series, right?
Yeah. Just reflex, like, what do you think his record would be? Conference finals.
9-1.
Yeah, that's his record. That's absurd.
I'm too much of a LeBron fan to get that wrong. No, that is absurd though. The fact that he's 9-1.
It's absurd.
Jordan's like 6-1, right? 6-2 or 6-1.
He lost against Detroit. And
yeah, that's it. Right?
That might have been it.
And
yeah,
then six finals. That's just insane that he's 9-1 in conference finals. And look, I get it's people want to say it's the East and whatever, but if anything, doesn't this year kind of prove that he's still, like, the East had nothing to do with how great he would dominate these playoffs?
That narrative has to be over by now. By the way, Steph Curry's 5-0 in conference finals. Throwing that out there.
That's a good stat. Okay,
we can go
hey,
now.
Hey, that's a good stat. That's
we
a good
go
stat.
Now. It is.
I like that. Just one more thing I wanted to point out about LeBron, and this is the crazy thing, because the elimination games is, that's a big thing, right? Elimination games.
Yeah.
And if we just compare, like, and I don't want to do too much LeBron and Jordan stuff, but if you actually look at LeBron and Jordan stats in elimination games, LeBron is, didn't change. LeBron is 14-9. So 14 wins, 9 losses. And Jordan is 5-7.
6-7.
6-7. My bad. 6-7. Yeah. I don't know why I said 5. LeBron averages more points, more efficient, higher field goal percentage, more assists, more rebounds, same amount of turnovers. Like, even turnovers that LeBron's usually more in, Jordan's actually like, and that's when Jordan normally gets the nudge, it's equal. He's like 5 more points efficient. He's averaging, LeBron averages 34 a game. 34, 7.5 assists, and 11 rebounds. That's what LeBron averages in elimination games. 34, 7.5, and 11. How is that possible? And most of these elimination games are when he's either away or home, but there's a lot of pressure. Like, there's always pressure on an elimination team, especially when you're away. And he just dominates.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
This is
with, like, the Dallas series, like, lowering his stats, or, like, even with, like, a game or two in that series that'll lower his stats, he's still at almost 35 a game. Because he can do whatever is needed of him. And normally when they're down in an elimination game, LeBron will always spread the ball out. Normally that's when he has to score and put the team on his back, and he clearly does that with 34 a game. The guy can literally do anything you want to win, and that's why I'm picking him. That's why we're both picking him to win the NBA championship this year.
Solely because of LeBron. There is no other reason. Not because someone else is. I mean, maybe his teammates are stepping up a little
LeBron's,
bit.
If you take LeBron off this team, I don't
think it's a playoff team. I don't
Houston
think it's
probably
playoff
beats
team.
Them, right?
I don't even Houston think it's a playoff them. Team.
They're not. Oh, come on. They're a playoff team. They're probably
Anthony Davis, and your second guy is who?
Kuzma, maybe? Kuzma half the time? And then a mix of Bradley.
Anthony Davis wasn't making the playoffs with Jrue Holiday as the second guy. Like,
they're probably like a 7th seed. No, they'll grab it. They grab the 8th seed. I think that team grabs the 8th seed. 8 or 7.
I don't know about that. On the other side of the series, though, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, I'm just going to go on my own little thing here. So they are not... Yeah. But no, they're not built for the playoffs. And I think too many people were banking on them doing something in the playoffs that they've never done. And Westbrook actually shot well for his standards in this series. I think this is his first series in like 6 series shooting over 40%, and he shot 42%.
Good for him. That's fine for Westbrook.
Yeah, Westbrook has been the common denominator on one of the most underperforming teams year in and year out. That is not a coincidence. He's also not a top 25 player, and I would have benched him this series. Yeah.
Whoa!
Okay, so let me just get in my Westbrook thing now. So, his legacy isn't going to have to do the slightest thing with winning, which is why he's not close to a top 50 player of all time. He shot below 40% in over half of his playoff series. He's never got out the first round as the best player on the team. He shoots 37% in elimination games. He's a terrible off-ball player, and he doesn't make his teammates better. The Rockets, without him on the floor, are first in the league and have the highest offensive rating in NBA history, while they drop to 11th when he's on the floor. And that
doesn't explain. Really? They're higher than Dallas? Their offensive rating?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And that doesn't explain the fact that he's currently been one of the worst defenders in the league. And people actually thought that it was absurd to leave Westbrook out of my top 20. But to be honest, it's absurd to put him in your top 20. He screams and plays with passion and goes hard on a few plays a game. And people now think that makes him a good defender because he plays with 100% effort every once in a while. Uh-oh. Give me a break, because he can't play defense. He's an offensive liability while he's acting like he's a top 5 or top 10 player. And he isn't a good locker room guy. Give me one reason why you want him on your NBA team. And as a Pacers fan, I wouldn't trade TJ Leaf for Russell Westbrook. He straight up hurts your team. I don't want Russell Westbrook on my basketball team. That's my take on Russell Westbrook.
Cool him off. Oh my gosh. And honestly, when you look at these series stats, Harden's actually almost shooting 50-40-90. Crazy as that sounds.
I was going to get into that, yeah.
That's kind of nuts. I didn't think he was that efficient. But just think on Westbrook. We'd agree that Houston is one of the best, like, they have some of the best three-point gunners on their team between Green, Gordon, Covington, Tucker, Macklemore, House, Harden, right? We agree with that?
Okay.
Guess who took the third most threes on their team and shot 26% on threes?
It's Russell Westbrook. It's Russell Westbrook. It's always Russell Westbrook.
Like, that's just Covington shot about 7 less threes, and Covington was out 50%. And, yeah, Covington was at 50% threes, made 10 for 20. Russ shot 7 for 27. And you just have to think, if a guy is really a leader, I defend Westbrook sometimes just because how hard he plays, but I can't defend this, and I'm not going to, because if you have a guy, and everyone claims that Russell Westbrook plays so hard and he wants to win, if you really want to win, you're not going to jack three-pointers when someone like Covington is shooting the lights out, or someone like Eric Gordon shooting 40%, Tucker 37%, you know what I mean?
I actually don't even know the narrative of Russell Westbrook playing hard right now, because he puts absolutely no effort in 95% of defensive plays.
It takes a true leader to be like, I'm not going to do this because someone else can do it better. And I think one of the best was Bill Russell, where Bill Russell could handle, but why would he do that when he had other guys to handle it? You know, Bill Russell could get something off in crunch time, but why would he do that when they have Sam Jones? You know what I mean? And it takes a true leader to be like, I'm not going to do this because someone else can do it better. I will stick to what I do best. And what Westbrook does best is getting to the rim and having guys collapse and kicking it to three. And he just tries to play Superman, does it all, and he can't. I mean, do you see when he was trash-talking them, like, late in the fourth quarter? And LeBron started laughing?
You know what? I'm over Westbrook as, like,
I saw
even
that, and I was like, what is he even, like, what are you doing? Are you trying to prove you're, like, competitive?
I'm like, telling you,
this made no sense to me.
He might have a lot of expressions in the game. He does not play hard. He doesn't. I don't think he plays hard. Because I look at the defensive end.
I still think he plays hard.
You have to watch the defensive end sometimes, because it's just like,
you're right.
Also,
you're
another thing. NBA fans value on-ball defense so much because they're always watching the ball. Like, if you would watch off-ball defense, Russell Westbrook is not a better defender than Steph Curry.
In his triple-double year, in 2017 when he won the MVP, he was the lowest in contested threes because he would stay under the basket and try to get rebounds. Like, he was by far the lowest in contested threes. Like, in this one, 2017, Rudy Gobert had more contested threes than Russell Westbrook that year. Like, by a long shot.
I think he's really overrated as a defender, partly, too, because he's so physically gifted that people think that your physical gifts automatically make you a better defender than you are.
When all those guys, I mean, at high school, maybe a little different, or college, whatever. But at the NBA level, where all those guys are so, like, most of the guys in the NBA are just so talented, defense really just comes down to effort. It really does. And Westbrook just doesn't give a lot of effort on the defensive end. For whatever reason. He just doesn't. Yeah. Neither does Harden. But Harden, Harden, in a weird way, I actually think has been better than Westbrook. Harden's like the better version of Westbrook. The much better version.
That's true, but I do want to talk about Harden. Version. Should I go on my Harden rant right now?
Yeah, because I don't know what to think about Houston right now. Because there's so much unknown with them going forward. How do you feel about their best player, James Harden, after the series?
In hindsight, people are going to look at the box score and see Harden drop 29, 5, and 7 on 50% shooting, 38 from 3.
Stats look great.
And think that he not think that he played bad. Watch the game. Because
he
Harden
had some rough ones. He had some really rough
ones. He accepts the double team. He doesn't make any plays after. And he can't do anything off the ball. And his game is way too predictable. When Kobe had an interview in, I think, 2019, and Rachel Nichols asked him how impressive he's been with Harden stretch, averaging 40
games. What did he say?
Kobe said he can't win a championship like that, and he was 100% right.
And he was right.
And Kobe knows, Kobe knows more than anyone the difference between just a high scorer and being the number one guy on a championship team. Phil Jackson taught him that. And prior to last night, Harden was averaging 24-7 in his last six elimination games. Wait, no, that seven is an assist. It's turnovers.
Oh!
And he was shooting 38 from the field and 25 from three in those games. And his teammates have been shooting 39% from three in the series. So there really aren't that many excuses to just pull out the bag for the supporting cast. And D'Antoni might be part of the problem. But give me Steve Nash over these guys. Like, Steve Nash did more with D'Antoni. Like, I'd rather have Steve Nash on my all-time list over these guys. And really? We'll rank our players later after the season, but Harden isn't that guy, and neither is Westbrook, and I was surprised they even beat OKC.
Harden should make a second team. Right? He'll make a second team.
Yeah, he'll make a second team, but...
It's not going to be like an impressive second team.
If you're Houston, what do you do right now?
I don't even... I mean, just the Harden goes in game four... That was a crucial game that basically put the Lakers up 3-1 and ended the series. He goes 2-for-11 from the field, 1-for-6 from three. He has more than double turnovers than shots made. You know, like his plus minus was. I mean, plus minus was a zero. That's not bad. And that's one of the big things is on the court. The Houston's been really well where it revolves around Harden. But I need more out of my top guy for this. I need more out of a top five player who we both rank top five. And I think it was fairly so, but when it gets to the playoffs, things change. And there's this one thing where I can't remember who said this, but every player has that 10% about them. Every great player has that 10% about them that is like the bad part, and the 90% is like the great part. But with Westbrook and Harden, their 10% bad is just so glaring, and like it almost. It doesn't like take away from everything else they do, but it always is just so glaring. It'll always get brought up with them, and it's a real problem. And that's why this team.
Well, like, it's because they're 10% bad.
That's simple.
For Westbrook, it's because he thinks his 10% bad is his 10% exceptional.
But Davis, by the way, has been great this series. We haven't really talked about Davis that much. Davis has done. I mean, going into the series, I thought he was going to average 40-10, and still he was the leading scorer of the Lakers. But Davis has done great as number two. I think he's the best. I think he's the best number two in the league right now, for sure. I think we all could agree on that.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Davis is the best number two, probably. Yeah,
for sure, for sure.
PG,
hell no.
And then if I'm Houston, I'm trading Westbrook for my best win now offer on the table. I don't care if it's Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. I'm taking that
Well, actually, LeBron's been the leading scorer, but only by 0.4. Davis is shooting 60-40-80, though. Those are his shooting splits. 60 from the field, 40 from three, 80 from free throw. And when that guy's shooting the ball lights out, he is virtually unstoppable.
I know.
Lakers look great right now. Hats off to them.
Yeah, I'm done for the Lakers. I've already exhausted a fair amount of opinions that might receive backlash on the Rockets. So
they shouldn't, though, because you're right. You're just right. Real quickly, though, what do you do if you're Houston's owner right now? Do you file more? Do you fire Morey? Do you want to get? Do you want to trade? What do you do?
I fire D'Antoni. If I'm the Pacers, I would pick him up, though, because I think the Pacers don't have as high expectations. But let's talk about the Rockets, because I think that, no, Phil Jackson's out of retirement. I mean, he's in retirement, obviously, but that would be like
he's not coming back for those two. He's not coming back for those two.
I mean, I think if you trade Westbrook for like a big man, like the Lakers traded for Pau Gasol, you know, and because or someone who doesn't need to score like 20 something a game to be impactful.
Like if they could get Al Horford 3 years ago in a time machine.
Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah,
I still think they can get Al Horford. I think that, honestly, no, because Philly wouldn't trade for Westbrook.
Yeah.
No, the contract would work for Westbrook.
Yeah, like, it would, you're right. But Philly is just...
Like, why would you trade for Westbrook? Why would anyone trade for Westbrook? Release him.
A lot of teams would trade for Westbrook. Think about ticket sales.
Maybe his sons?
Half the league would trade for Westbrook for ticket sales.
Probably.
The Knicks would trade for Westbrook. Like, for sure.
Do you ever play NBA 2K and they had, like, the star values of the players?
What's Westbrook's price so high, honestly?
Might be a 1.5. In my opinion.
Yeah, I know. I mean, let's just be honest, though. How many players are more famous than Russell Westbrook?
Maybe less like than 10.
I'd say less than 10. Like, who's more famous, Paul George or Russell Westbrook? Westbrook.
This playing hard thing is such a bad narrative.
Even Westbrook's more popular than Lillard, even now. Or, like, more famous. And Lillard is clearly better. Curry, no. Curry, Durant, LeBron. I mean, Westbrook's probably more popular than Davis. Honestly. As crazy as that sounds. Maybe not because Davis is in LA now, but... When he was on New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say on the series?
Just real quickly, I'll tell you someone he's definitely more popular than is Kyle Lowry.
For no reason.
Well, I just think people like watching Westbrook more than Lowry. It's more exciting.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Lowry flops too much. He's a good actor, though. All right, what series do you want to get into next?
We could get into Clippers Nuggets, but I don't have too much to say on it.
I don't even know what to make. Just that I don't like the Clippers, and I'll keep saying that, because I just don't like them. Well, I just don't.
The series isn't finished yet, so I don't want to talk about it too much as a whole, but the Clippers continue to carry themselves like they're a dynasty when we haven't even seen them for a whole season yet.
It bothers me to no ends, and it's so stupid. I'm getting worked up over things like this. But when a team comes into a year, and I've seen this so many times, but when a team comes into a year and just blatantly doesn't care about it, like even in interviews, they're like, yeah, load management, we're good. And they still put up great stats and seem to dominate, but they're just not winning by as much as they should. I just don't know why anyone would root for that.
We certainly don't.
I wouldn't have a problem with it because obviously LeBron's on the other side and LeBron's my guy. But I wouldn't care if the Clippers won. If the Clippers played amazing basketball this whole year and blatantly cared as much as the Lakers did and they beat the Lakers in the Western Conference in like five, I'd be like, yeah, they deserve it. Best team in the league. They're playing amazing. You know what
All of a sudden, the Clippers have become the more hated team in LA because of Marcus Morris, Beverly, and their. The way they carry themselves, their swagger.
What do you make of Beverly's antics?
You know, I still think he's gonna be really impactful for them in the next round. So I won't
need him
do anything yet. But I want to talk about Lou Will and Harrell because I put Harrell in my top 40. I don't like him this series, and I'm not sure I like him in the playoffs. And he seems to hurt the team a bit, and the same goes for Lou Will. Like, when they're on the floor, it just... it feels like they're putting up points.
You know what Lou Will is shooting from three?
What is he shooting?
In the series? 0.095. 2 for 21 from three, Lou Williams.
That's horrible.
And he's not even the leader in assists anymore on the team. So
I didn't even know that.
I don't know how much value. No, he's been horrible. He's actually been horrible. And
yeah,
Lou Will and Trez are like, I think they're both fan favorites. I just get that vibe from them.
Yeah,
I like them. Like Lou Will is a really smart veteran. Trez really plays hard, but I mean, Trez is coming back. Like, he's been out for the bubble. He was out for the bubble for a while, and he's come back. And I still think they're trying to figure out how to get his minutes straight.
Yeah.
But this Clippers team is just, I mean, and it's crazy because they're still up 3-2 in the second round, and they're about to go to the Western Conference Finals, and I still think they're underperforming so much.
You were right. Marcus Morris looks like the third best player on the team.
It's crazy. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I'm starting to think that the Clippers don't know who they truly want to put out there in the final
minutes. They don't, and they're still like winning the series despite how great Jokic has been. I mean, let's just say Jamal Murray came back down to earth. I think we can both say that.
Yeah, but I could see him going off this game.
I don't even know what to make of that Utah series now. It's just such an outlier. I don't even know what to make of it.
I think that's how we're going to look at it as historically an outlier. But
I really don't know what to make of it.
The Clippers haven't been able to close, and I thought they would. And maybe that might offset Anthony Davis's lack of fourth quarter scoring in the next round, where I thought they had an advantage in the fourth quarter.
Paul George has been better for the Clippers, but the only one who has done his job, at least I think, and like has done what he normally does is Kawhi.
Yeah.
But even Kawhi bothers me because he always looks disengaged.
Yeah, let's look back at this series for a second. This Nuggets-Clipper series, it's going to go a minimum of 6 games. I think it's going to be 7, to be honest. And their last series against the Mavs went 6, and they didn't have Porzingis for most of the games. Are we really going to sit here and act like this team can now beat the Lakers in anything less than 7 games? And if we get to a Game 7, are we really going to doubt LeBron James in a Game 7? That's why I've got the Lakers winning the next series.
LeBron's the last person on earth and even in history that I bet on that I would want to bet against in a Game 7. That's just I would rather just not bet and like save my money. I wouldn't want to do that.
Maybe the Clippers do have another gear, but I'm not sure they can even find the next gear with their attitude right now.
That's the thing, because this team is so good on paper, and we keep saying it. This team is so great on paper. They're better than the Lakers on paper, if I'll tell you that much. But and which is why I still am like, I still think it could be, I still think the Clippers could put up a great fight. Like, if the Clippers win, I still am not going to be shocked just because of how much talent they are. But I think previously, before the bubble started, everyone was saying the Clippers were the favorites. And now I think it's shifting back to the Lakers are favorites again.
I agree.
And honestly, nothing changed. The only thing that changed is that the playoffs started. Like, these teams have been each other all year. The Clippers have dominated, just they underperform a little bit. And the Lakers have gone, like, balls deep in everything. And that's just been it.
That's why I like the Lakers. I mean, they might have another gear for the Clippers, but... I mean, let's talk about the players, though. Kawhi's been phenomenal in the first 3 quarters.
Yeah, Kawhi's been amazing.
Prior to the Game 5 loss, he was averaging, like, 3 points per game in the fourth quarter. And I still think he's the second best player in the league. But for a guy that's marketed as the best go-to guy in the clutch, it hasn't been so much of that lately.
I agree. And on the other side, I mean, I actually think the Nuggets have put up a fight. Millsap is playing a little better. Porter is doing... he's doing stuff, I guess. Monte Morris has been, like, feisty. Grant, Harris. The Nuggets have just have really balanced scoring, a lot of guys to throw at them. And actually, they've been doing better than I thought. I give props. I mean, Jokic has made the second round 2 years in a row. as a 24-year-old, you know, that's not easy in the Western Conference, where all these juggernauts are playing. And in both series that he lost in Game 7, and this year, if he does lose in the second round, he's put up a great fight, and I think he's outperformed every time we thought. Like, you thought the Jazz would win that series, right?
Yeah, I thought they would win the series.
And I think we now have to start looking at Jokic as like a potential top five player. As crazy as that sounds, because last year when we did our All-NBA teams, just forget in a vacuum, who had the best year? You ranked him, what, fourth? And I ranked him sixth?
Yeah.
Average it out, that's top five. This year, I mean, neither of us can rank him lower than seventh, right?
I mean, I had him seventh. I definitely put him over Harden now.
Yeah, I would too, for sure. And would you... You can't put him over Giannis still, I don't think. You still can't.
No.
Jimmy Butler might move ahead of him. Depends on the next round goes. Depends on the next round goes, honestly. But
I mean, you can't put him over Giannis because they both lost in the second round.
Yeah, Giannis just looks way worse. But yeah. I mean, Jokic is, again, he's the best offensive center in the league. He's efficient. He can make pretty much every pass on the court. The guy just makes others better. And when you look at this Nuggets team after Jamal Murray, it's just kind of a bunch of guys that play hard. And Jokic just makes it work. And I really want to give Jokic props, because just where he was at 2 years ago, where he was like, it was like, oh, Jokic is great. Kind of like a borderline all-star type player that 1 year where they lost. They were the ninth seed. They almost made it, but the Timberwolves snuck in when Butler got back from injury. But what Jokic has been able to do as a 24-year-old, the league's in good hands. I'll say that much. He's been great.
It's a good take. He's been really great. Do you like the Nuggets in Game 6?
I don't know. I want to pick them, but I just feel like Kawhi's not going to lose this game.
I think I can bank on Murray or Jokic having a big game in Game 6.
I think it'll be close, but honestly, I think the Clippers are going to pull it out.
There should be no reason why the Nuggets should win this game. It's just gut feeling for me.
Like, yeah, there is no reason why they should win it, but
it just feels like it to me. But, I mean, that's it for me on the Celtics-Nuggets. I don't want to get too much into it just because the series hasn't wrapped up yet. And
Yeah. So, guys, see, it's the only second-round series still going on. We're recording this on a Sunday. They play today. Let's move over to the East. Let's save Celtics-Raptors. Let's just go Bucks Heat. Last time we recorded, Miami was up 2-0. No, Miami was up 3-0. Yeah, Miami was up 3-0. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to make of it. Because, to be honest with you, I didn't think the Heat would win. I don't think anyone thought the Heat were going to win. Did you?
No.
I mean,
I definitely did not. I thought they'd lose first round. I mean...
Yeah, that's right. But what they've... I don't know what to make out of this series, because I feel like this series could mean so much going forward, depending on what Giannis wants to do.
Giannis is, I mean, that team looked good without him. Like, they actually looked like they could contend with the Miami Heat for a 4-game series without Giannis.
Yeah,
I mean, 7-game series.
They lost, but I mean, they didn't look worse than Indiana.
Yeah.
You know,
honestly,
what I mean?
So I told you this take.
It was a really low scoring game. They played great defense.
I told you this take. Giannis Westbrook. Do you have anything you want to say before I go?
To be honest with you, when you so it's funny. For the listeners, me and Steven, we always text about this type of stuff. And Steven probably gave me, I think, 20 similarities between Westbrook and Giannis. And there were like two I was like, oh, come on, that's unfair. So, Just go.
Is Giannis just not a 7-foot version of Russell Westbrook with shooters around him that Westbrook never had? I mean, they're both playoff
and probably a better coach.
Yeah, they're both playoff strugglers. They both have very overrated playmaking, I think, because of their assist numbers are inflated.
I actually agree. They're like high usage.
They're both high usage rate players, like 37% usage.
Giannis is low in minutes, but I think back-to-back years he's been highest in usage rate when he's on the court.
Yeah. Their teammates, I honestly think their teammates look better without them. I think Giannis, I remember there was a stat that I think the Bucks had a better record without Giannis in like the last 3 years, and they looked pretty good without him against the Miami Heat a few games ago. And they're both very reliant on their athleticism. They both have a lack of a jump shot. They're very poor free throw shooters. They had historic MVP stat lines. They're poor in crunch time, and they have very inflated rebounding numbers. And to be honest, they even look alike. So,
and they're both known as two guys that play extremely hard.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like when you think of both those guys, you think they play so hard, and they do and though.
Two guys who don't really have a big circle of friends.
Yep.
Very
Westbrook
tight themselves.
Westbrook, quote unquote, said his best friend's the ball, and Giannis turned down Space Jam, doesn't work out with other stars.
For a guy whose best friend is the ball, he gives up his best friend a lot.
It's crazy just how, I mean, I don't want to say that Giannis is Russell Westbrook. I mean, the comparison is closer than a lot of people think. And I was so high on Giannis. I really am. I really was. And I still am. I think one of the biggest things about how Giannis and Westbrook's playoffs unfolded that Steven loves and the theme that Steven always goes with is that athleticism in the NBA is overrated. And just give me like the reasoning why like at first you like thought that.
I just think that athleticism hurts a lot of guys' jump shots. Like, you look at the most athletic guys, and they're jumping too high on their jump shot, and they'll never get a consistent jump shot. Or they rely too much on it to the point where it's just like, when you face a bit against a guy who's as athletic as you and better than you, you have no shot. And also, it's just, when you're athletic, like everyone's athletic, but like when you rely on it, it takes away from the other parts of your game that truly matter when it comes down to it. Like, in a game 7, where the game gets so tight, everyone's good. It's about instinct, decisions, what you do when everyone knows what kind of plays you run, when everyone knows your go-to move, what's your next thing you do, and when you can't just go rise up and dunk, you know? So I've always thought, like, athleticism is overrated. You see guys like Larry, Luka, Steph dominate. That's just my take.
You're right, and it's tough to, like, model it after guys like Larry Bird and Steph Curry because they're just so great all time and just at the sport they play. But the thing that I have trouble with is just – it's that these guys like Westbrook and Giannis just for some reason fade away in the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Giannis is kind of – I know Giannis is way younger than Westbrook, so it's kind of unfair to say this, but there's never been a series that Giannis has won where I've been like, impressed me. Like, even Jokic has done that, and Jokic is younger.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I also think guys who rely less on their athleticism, like, tend to, like, win more. It sounds weird, but, like, as LeBron relied less on his athleticism, won more. Michael, you know? Fair. Like, guys sure. like Kobe, you know?
Yeah. Shaq, though, was kind of...
Yeah. But I think he learned a lot in his Miami run.
And yeah, for sure, he did.
Yeah. I'm surprised that the Heat have gone this far, to be honest. Like, super surprised.
Are you picking them to go to the finals now? Are you picking them to go to the finals?
We can talk about that when we get to our Celtics Raptors segment. After it.
It'll definitely be a fun series. Also, one thing about this Miami series that I feel like, not this guy swept under the rug, but Chris Middleton. As our listeners know, I bashed Middleton for last round for the abominable games that he put up in some of those. But I mean, let's just be honest. He was the leading scorer. for the Bucks this series.
I think it was game four. Put on a performance, a virtuoso.
And not only was he the leading scorer, but he was also the highest in assists. And I did say that. To be fair, I did say in the Magic series, I said I actually thought Middleton was playing well except for his shooting. And I thought that Milwaukee needed that second high scorer for them to move on. And it's like he heard me. You look at his stats and they weren't perfect. You know, he wasn't so efficient. Giannis was definitely more efficient. But for what he was able to do with what he had, I applaud him. Because he really went out there and tried to win. And it really looked like he gave a. You know what? And yeah. Just that game four that went into overtime. The only reason they win that game, or the only reason why they're in that game, is because Chris Middleton puts up, what, 36 that game?
Yeah.
36.
I think his ball handling is really poor, though. Like, he had 36 on just tough contested shots.
Yeah. That's why crazy.
It's hard for him to create his own shot, and I mean, maybe he might never get that because he was a G League guy and he just doesn't have the talent to, but I mean, it's pretty absurd that he did perform as well as he did without creating his own shot.
Agreed. And it's funny because I actually at one point thought his handle was a little underrated. Like, he'd have these moments where he'd come off a high screen and do, like, an in and out and go by someone and get, like, the cleanest mid-range shot. And I was like, whoa, Middleton. But it's kind of relaxing in the playoffs. But I liked what I saw from him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't the type of thing where what people expected where, like, Giannis goes off and Middleton sucks. And it's like, Giannis is out for sure. Like Giannis' teammates didn't play bad.
Yeah. Is Giannis leaving?
I try not to go into the mind of these NBA players, and I hate that we're doing this already a year early. The media is already going crazy about it, and
we don't have to do it.
Did you see that thing where he unfollowed everyone?
Yeah.
He unfollowed all his teammates. So much has changed in a year. We just had a pandemic and a civil rights movement in the last 8 years, and things are still changing. My boy's trying not to get sent home from college soon. Hopefully he stays.
Hopefully.
But there's just so many things that could change that I don't want to get into. Like, what if Milwaukee makes the finals next year? Then what? Does he leave then? Like, let's say
That's what we said last year.
I know, but there's so much unknown with this league that I don't want to get into it too much. But
I think a big question right now is Harden or Giannis?
What do you mean? Like, who's going to leave?
Who's better?
Oh. Like, who would I rank higher?
Yeah. You could say you just don't know yet.
I feel like I should know because both are eliminated.
You're right. It's really hard. It's extremely hard because both have extreme flaws.
That's really tough.
They're also so magnificent in their own ways. And they're so unique. But I mean,
that used to be a curveball. That is tough.
I'm still thinking too. Maybe we could have a whole episode devoted to this in the off season. Who knows?
Oh man, that's a good one. I'm leaning toward Giannis, but I don't know.
Because Harden has also proved more, right?
And Giannis definitely struggled more this year in the playoffs, at least.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's tough. Wow. That was a good one. I don't know. I have to think about it.
I don't know either. That's why I asked you.
Do some deep dives.
Yeah.
Wow. Good one.
It is. Do you have any other takes on the series? Miami, Milwaukee?
Giannis, if you leave in free agency, and if you're listening, Giannis. If you leave in free agency, you cannot blame anybody but yourself for this loss.
I agree 100%.
You cannot blame anyone else but yourself. I'm sorry. I think you're an amazing player, but it was all lined up for you to win. And a lot of these games got close, and there were chances where you could take over, and it just didn't work out that way. Not the end of the world, but it's not on anyone else but you.
Mm-hmm.
As hard as that sounds, because I know how talented you are, I know how great a player you are, but this league's not easy.
It's not.
And it's very unforgiving, too. Let's move on to what's, I mean, clearly the series of the playoffs, maybe?
Not yet. I mean, we'd have to see.
Playoffs? Well, so far, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so far. No, it might be. It might be
Nuggets, Denver, Jazz. Utah. Nuggets, Jazz. Yeah. One of those. It's tough. Nuggets, Jazz definitely had a crazier ending, even though the Toronto Raptors Bucks series ended. Wait, not Raptors Bucks. Raptors Celtics series ended. This series, I changed my mind on it, I think, 20 times.
I don't think I ever wavered from this one.
Well, no, I always thought the Celtics were going to win, but I just mean, like, with everything that was happening. And, again, I said it, and I still stood by it. The team that was going to win this was going to the finals. And I still feel like if Toronto pulled out this Game 7, they were going to the finals because of how well they played. And I actually said Celtics in 7, and they won. So put that out there, too.
Well, what a series.
At the end of the day, it came down to the really, really, really little things. And unfortunately for Toronto, their best player fouled out right before it.
That Marcus Smart block was something else.
Oh my gosh. What
LeBron James reminiscent. And so we told you Tatum was the top six player in the bubble. I hope you took your word. Took our word. And Celtics Lakers finals.
Points and rebounds.
Celtics Lakers finals is coming. It's coming.
Historic one too. It's funny. We get a few historic matchups. Think about it. We get Celtics Heat next round. That's fairly historic. I mean historic for like the last 10 years. Pierce and KG versus Bron and D Wade. But this time it's Tatum, Brown, Butler, Bam going at it. That'll be fun. Then hopefully we get this in the finals. We get Lakers Celtics. Instead of Kobe, Gasol, Garnett, Pierce, it's LeBron, Davis, you know, Tatum,
and just
all that.
Historically for LeBron, him and the Celtics have a rivalry. And
oh, yeah.
He could play his former team, the Miami Heat.
True. Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be? Wow. That'd be something. I'll just throw this out at you. After Golden State, obviously, who would you say LeBron's biggest rival has been throughout his career? San Antonio or Boston? I feel like it's Boston, especially if they play in this finals.
And San Antonio.
Yeah, probably San Antonio. If they play Boston this finals, though, it might have to be Boston.
Yeah. Boston. Actually, it might be Boston, but I think, I think that's the one that LeBron wants the most.
Yeah,
because he wants San Antonio.
Yeah, LeBron played San Antonio like 3 out of 9 times he was in the finals.
And he lost 2 of them, so.
Yep, he did. One time he was like, he shouldn't even have been there, though.
Yeah.
That was a fun matchup.
Let's talk about the Celtics-Raptors series.
Yep.
I want to get into the Celtics guy. So Jason Tatum's playmaking was outstanding this series.
Surprisingly, because I didn't think he could play make like that. I thought that was the biggest hole in his game.
Well, I've always thought he learned as the game went, and the way he was able to make instinctive decisions and make the right basketball play gives me 100% confidence that he can be the best player on the finals team.
I think he might do it right now. They don't have to win the finals, just best player on a finals team?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's lined up for it.
And Tatum was the second youngest player to have 25, 10, and 5 in a Game 7, only to Kobe, who is his idol. And
yep.
He just played a great series.
Crazy stat for Jaylen Brown and Tatum. You pointed this out too. Jaylen Brown, in the 4 years he's been in the league, has been in 3 conference finals. Jason Tatum, in the 3 years he's been in the league, has been in 2 conference finals. That's not supposed to happen for 21-year-olds and 23-year-olds.
It's why I like Jaylen Brown so much. He's been there, done that. And you know what? I hate to go against your guy, Kemba.
No, I think come on.
Okay, here. Let me just talk first. I think he outplayed Kemba, and I've always said games 5, 6, and 7 are those games where the best team comes out and the best of those players. I know Kemba faced the boxing one defense against the Raptors, and Kemba had a lot of non-boxing one opportunities that he didn't convert on. And Jalen averaged 26 and 10. He willed game six for them. He almost did. He shot 47 from the field, whereas Kemba averaging...
Wait, Jalen didn't average 26 and 10?
Over games 5, 6, and 7?
Oh, over game 5, 6, my bad.
And over those games, Kemba was averaging 13 on 36, 16, and 70 shooting splits. And I know he faced the box and won, but there were a lot of times where he didn't, and I was just like, man, Kemba, like, what's going on? Like, that's your shot.
No. No, you can't do this. You can't make the point that Steph Curry always sees all this, and then with Kemba, it's just no. Come on. They wanted Jaylen Brown to beat them, not Kemba Walker. You know they did. And look, some of those games, like that Tatum that Brown had, were really bad. Where
Steph Curry does not average 13.
I get he's averaging a lot of points. Like some of those games were bad. But let's go to Hold up, give me a second. Could we go to game six? Because that's a big game, right?
Okay.
Okay. Let's see what Jaylen Brown did in game six.
Wait, but show me what Kemba did too.
All right. Let's do Jaylen Brown. Okay. So Jaylen Brown took 30 shots.
Okay. But it was a very low scoring game.
He took nine more shots than Tatum. He went 11 for 30. Right?
But he needed to go 11 for 30.
He didn't need to take that many shots.
He did.
And now you're going to laugh. Kemba shot 2 for 11. But Kemba was actually... I actually thought he was playmaking well.
Defensively, he got torched by Kyle Lowry.
I knew you'd say it. In game 3, he made what should have been the game-winning lob to Tice. I thought it was interesting that Tatum didn't get the ball in crunch time. They actually gave it to Kemba, and Kemba made the perfect play. Just... Tatum messed up his rotation in the last buzzer, and Jaylen Brown was late on the closeout. Whatever. I'm still going Kemba. For this whole year, I think Kemba's been better still.
Wait, Jaylen was holding down Pascal Siakam while Kemba Walker was getting torched by Kyle Lowry. That has to be in there somewhere.
Siakam was horrible.
Like, not only did Jaylen Brown average that...
And Lowry had an amazing game six. Put up 33 points. 8 boards, 6 assists, shot 60% from the field.
I have a Kyle. Are we getting it to Kyle Lowry
on the court?
Are we getting it to Kyle Lowry?
Not yet. Not just yet.
Okay.
And the reason why I still think that Kemba was better is because with this Boston team, I mean, Tatum's not the best playmaker. Brown doesn't really playmake. I mean, Tice doesn't. Smart, I mean, sometimes, but doesn't really have the ball in his hands. And for what Kemba's been able to do, not only running their offense, but just the attention he attracts and getting guys open, I think statistics don't really capture that. That's why I get all of that. But it's really close. It is really close between those two.
I get all of that. But I also think playmaking is a bit overrated in the system Brad Stevens runs. And on top of that, Jaylen Brown just showed up. Like, he was averaging 26 over the last three games, and he was holding down Siakam. Like,
Siakam stuff was amazing. And I praised him in the last podcast because, so one of my friends on my floor in college, he watches basketball a little bit, and every time we would watch a Raptors Celtics game, every single time Siakam would do that dumb spin move, he would just start yelling and point it out, and it happened I think 10 times a game. Like it was crazy just how much of a robot Siakam looked like. It was really bad.
Yeah, I agree.
It was really bad, and Lowry almost took over and was able to win this series. Just how close he came, I gotta give him props. But Siakam Toronto probably wins the series if Siakam just plays like 20% better. But he struggled, and that was it. But the player who was on both of our minds, the player that all year was the best player for Toronto, the player that his whole career, and especially these last two, has been one of the most underrated players in the league, the player that really cares about winning and is willing to do literally whatever to win, his name is Kyle freaking Lowry. Steven.
Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry proved that he's that guy. Despite the outcome of the series, yes. when he yep. left the game with 6 fouls in game 7, all hope was lost for Toronto when he looked hopeless. Cratered.
Lowry they also got, proved himself. I don't think they got a worse shot. They couldn't have got a worse shot.
Exactly.
That bad three Van Vliet threw up, they couldn't have got a worse shot.
He also proved himself throughout the series. I think he was the only player with a positive net rating of the Raptors starting five and the only other rotation player who was positive in net rating other than Serge Ibaka. And he straight up won game 6 for them too with his 33-8-6 performance in 53 minutes while shooting 60 from the field and 60 from three. And I still have Kyle Lowry as the top 10 player in the bubble. I still have him over Damian Lillard. I think that he put up 35 points in two other elimination games before dropping 33 in this one. So let's not act like he hasn't done this before. I haven't even talked about the leader he's been and the other things he's done when he's not scoring.
Oh my gosh.
He shifts the whole other team's offense attacking the paint. The Celtics were taking floaters down the stretch because they were afraid of Lowry coming in and taking a charge. And that's not even mentioning that Lowry seems to elevate his play when he's in foul trouble somehow. And Lowry just does so many.
Do it.
Yeah. He just does so many things that's hard to quantify in box scores. But he's still that guy. Kyle Lowry. Champion.
The man's a champion. The man plays hard. And to be honest with you, there's not many guys I'll take in a game where I'm just like, win me this game. We're down by 6. I'm putting you in. You have 5 minutes. There's not many guys you could throw in there. And look, whatever. You can look at the stats after the series and yell at me all you want and say, oh, are you kidding me? Dude only averages 20 points. Doesn't even shoot a high percentage. You know, he averaged the most turnovers. Whatever. Like, you can throw all the stats at me. I just don't care. What this guy has been able to do with just the lowest of expectations, and I think he's one of the most disrespected players in the entire NBA. Like, I don't know. I don't understand why we talk about Westbrook and Harden and just, I mean, DeRozan for a little bit when that stretch was going on. Just guys like Paul George, guys like Middleton, who we just think aren't even in Kyle, like, who we think Kyle Lowry's not even in their class. And on paper and just in a vacuum, it seems like that. But for some reason, in games, I always feel like Kyle Lowry's team is going to pull it out. And that's not a coincidence. That's because Kyle Lowry, and I've said it so many times, can do literally anything on the court to get you a win, where it's taking some dumb charge or hitting a step back three with three hands in his face.
It's not only that he can do it, he will do it.
Gamer.
He will do it.
And he will. That's the biggest thing. He will do it. And he's done
and
that.
And you can throw him out for 48 minutes, and he'll give you he'll actually give you his all on both ends of the court and on every second of the game. He will give you his all. Unlike Russell Westbrook, Lowry plays harder.
Yeah. And yeah, no, he does play harder. I mean, he played 42 minutes a game in this series. Nurse just rode those three of Lowry, Van Vliet, Siakam. One thing that was interesting that Toronto did, they basically played 7 guys.
Yeah, like, for a team, that's 7. So deep. For a team
real
that's
quickly,
so deep.
Real quickly, I want to get your thought on this. You were very high on one particular person on the Raptors last year, and his name was Marcus Gasol. How did you feel about Marcus Gasol in this series?
I think it was hurt by the bad matchup, honestly.
There we go.
I think if the Raptors played the Heat, he would have a field day against Bam Adebayo. But I think the matchup served them really bad in this series.
Safe to say, Marcus Gasol won't be making an All-NBA team.
Safe to say.
Yeah, that's fair. Kyle Lowry definitely will be, though. For sure. Oh,
but you know who won't be?
Who?
Pascal Siakam.
Ooh!
I don't blame them for continuing to go to him. Because if you went away from him, how would you ever know if he was ever built to be that guy in the moment? At least
now they know
that he's not, and you can address the problem. But as for Siakam, the player, he kept going with the same move at the same player.
It was
as if
it was like
Brown,
a high school kid. It was like an overwhelmed high school kid in like some state game where he had like no idea what to do.
It's as if Jaylen Brown hasn't been a great defender, as if he can't guard 1 through 4.
Yep.
And
Siakam learned that the hard way, and Toronto learned that he's not that guy the hard way. And just how everyone was saying after last, like, even last year, people were like, oh, well, it's all on Siakam this year. And if it is all on Siakam, then they weren't going to win.
Some people said Siakam was better than Lowry.
That's crazy. People don't still say that, right? There's not people out there that think that, right?
I would hope not. Some people might say that because they think Siakam is like 6'9". People value height too much, too, as well. Especially in today's NBA. Height is very overrated.
Eh. Think about it. Besides Lillard and Curry, what top 10 players under 6'5", under 6'6"?
I mean, the thing is, they underrate Curry, they underrate Lowry, they underrate CP3, they were underrating
Lillard. Lillard is now strangely overrated.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of guys who are also net. Donovan Mitchell was underrated because of...
Oh, yeah. Mitchell's a great one.
I think a lot of guys are underrated because of their height.
Kemba Walker, maybe? Kemba Walker?
That's your guy, not mine.
Either way, the Kyle Lowry stuff is just... It needs to stop. Just stop.
As and NBA you know what?
Fans, stop. They're going to say Kyle Lowry. Just because he's better than your favorite player.
They're going to say they should trade him. Because he's old. And he's a big contract. They're probably gonna say that. And you know what? I want to talk about Van Fleet because Van Fleet shot 4% worse from the field than Siakam, despite how bad Siakam played.
The Van Fleet stuff was really confusing for me because he was great all year. And coming into the playoffs, especially in the Nets series, I want to say he was Toronto's leading scorer in that Nets series. And he was great. And then I was like, so is Van Vliet going to be their leading scorer? And Siakam and Lowry going to play off him? And then it seemed like he would because Van Vliet took way more shots than anyone else on the team. And he was okay.
I mean, I think he sauces against the bad defenders. Like last year against the Warriors, when you have Quinn Cook out there guarding him or like DeMarcus Cousins on a mismatch, yeah, and he puts up numbers, like... Okay, like, do you realize, like, outside of Draymond Green, no one on that team was a good defender? Maybe Steph Curry, that's about it.
And Iguodala.
Yeah.
Iguodala but, too. I mean, Iguodala and Draymond aren't going to guard Van Vliet, like,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And Clay was hobbled by the time he was there. Either way, when you really look at it, just, I mean... Not only in that finals, but Van Vliet. I mean, Van Vliet got a finals MVP vote. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Kawhi wasn't even unanimous. Someone gave him an MVP vote. I don't know what game they were watching, but it has to be said where you have guys like, I mean, most people would honestly probably say Van Vliet was better than Lowry, or at least coming into it. I think this series, more than anything, proved that Kyle Lowry, he's that guy. And, like, look, this may sound crazy, and, you know, people might disagree with me, but if my life's on the line and there's a random game of basketball that's being played and I get to pick either Kyle Lowry or Russell Westbrook, guess who I'm picking 10 out of 10 times? Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry.
His teammates struggled, right? Is that fair to say Siakam, Van Vliet, and Gasol underperformed?
Yes.
Is that fair?
Yes.
Ibaka was pretty good, and so was OG. I thought they were good.
The fact that Lowry was the only starter with a positive net rating, and it wasn't even close. All the other guys were like minus 10, minus 15, minus 20.
And they still took it to 7, and Boston had to sweat it out the whole time. And the only reason that... I mean, honestly, I knew it was over. As soon as he fouled out, I knew it was over. But just that the whole series, I could never be like, I mean, I thought Boston was going to win. I stayed with my pick. But the whole series, I was like, Toronto could do it, was only because of Kyle Lowry. Only
and
reason.
And guess what? People will tell you that Joel Embiid is a better basketball player than Kyle Lowry. Never.
I think this year, Lowry's going to rank higher than Embiid. As crazy as that sounds.
He's always been higher on my list.
Oh, my gosh. He's just...
And I would rather have Kyle Lowry on my basketball team in a meaningful game over Damian Lillard.
I can't do that. I don't know if I can do that.
How many elimination games has Damian Lillard dropped 30 in? Lowry's done it like three times.
I just... Lillard is just... I mean... Lowry just can't score with that dude. I don't know. It's tough, but... Everyone just keeps saying, like, why do you like Kyle Lowry so much? Like, what is it about Kyle Lowry that does it for you? And honestly, all I can say is watch the game. That's it. And when you watch all the plays that guy makes, when you watch how hard he plays, when you watch how he's willing to do anything to win, whether it's flailing his body when he gets touched, which drives me freaking nuts, or taking a charge, or hitting some crazy three, or getting past someone who's really good and kicking it out for an open three, or throwing a full court lobbed pass perfectly to Anobi right in shooting position for Anobi to get the shot off right just a half a second before Brown get there. Like we said with the Lakers, it comes down to the little things. And Lowry is literally the king, runner-up behind LeBron, of doing the little things to win a playoff basketball game.
I agree 100%.
And that's pretty much it. Who can make, when you just look at the series and all the plays Lowry can make, what player can do that? How many guys can do that?
Or how many players are willing to do that, too?
Yeah, how many players are willing and can do that? Like, look, Kawhi's definitely better, but Kawhi can't make some of those plays.
Yeah.
Kawhi's not taking five charges. Kawhi's not throwing that full court pass. You know what I mean?
Kawhi's not leading like Kyle Lowry is leading.
And this is what drove me crazy last year when everyone was like, oh, Kawhi just destroyed the Warriors and beat everyone and look at his cast. It's like, no, actually, his supporting cast was really good. It was definitely better than Curry's.
For sure.
At least in the finals. But when you have a guy like Lowry, who was the emotional leader this year and last year, and honestly, probably the year before that. I don't know what was going on behind closed doors with DeRozan, but I imagine it was Lowry too. And just little things like when they presented Nick Nurse with the trophy for Coach of the Year, Lowry and Van Vliet gave it to him, and you could just tell like how close Lowry was with Nurse when he was like dapping him up and like congratulating him and was like saying great job, Coach. It just was like just watching that checked all the boxes for me. It was like, yeah, those guys trust each other.
Yeah,
and those are the best players in the league.
Agree.
Guys that can work with anyone. And not only that, but the fact that after that championship run, Kawhi left, right? The whole team stays the same. Kawhi leaves. Lowry's getting a year older. And Lowry's like, no, we're fine. We'll still be the second seed. And we still have a small chance of making the conference finals. Like, let's just do it this way. Let's just say, like, I know we're in the future. Let's say Clippers win, right? Game 6 or Game 7. I would say Toronto is the best team besides any team that moved on to the conference finals, right?
Yeah.
And guess who their best player is?
Kyle Lowry.
Yep. Kyle Lowry, folks. Kyle Lowry, ladies and gentlemen.
And you know what? I think the Raptors played the Celtics harder than the Heat will play the Celtics, which brings me to this preview.
Yes.
Boston-Miami.
Really quickly about this Boston-Miami thing, I just want to point out something interesting. The two best players on Boston and Miami, guess what team they could have been on? The Philadelphia 76ers. Think about it.
Oh,
Philly away the Tatum Philly trades away the Tatum pick. Or what? They had it all lined up. They move up to one to get Fultz.
I think Boston was taking Tatum number one, though.
But just either way, like, Philly moves up and gets the number one pick, and they have, like, a chance to get Tatum. Like, Boston dangled the carrot, but it was clear they were taking Fultz. Philly messes that up. Then they somehow let Jimmy Butler, who was actually strangely probably the best player on that team in hindsight, leave. And then Philly gets bounced in the first round. And guess what Tatum and Butler are doing without Philly? Conference finals. And Tatum and it's safe to say, Tatum and Butler are having their biggest moments of their career so far. Like, this conference finals, this conference finals is the biggest moment in Butler and Tatum's career.
Let me give you my pick and the reason why.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to give you my pick. I like Boston, and I'm going to stick with Boston.
Thank God.
Adebayo has been a great paint presence, but I don't even think that's the Celtics game. I think they've got a bunch of perimeter guys. I thought the Raptors were a better team than the Heat, and the Celtics didn't even have Hayward, and they're going to get him back sometime during the series.
Yeah, Boston the
Heat.
Boston had like five guys. Toronto, at least.
The Heat have also switched to a man-to-man defense during these playoffs, but I'm not sure if they do that here. But if they do, I don't know if you have three guys who can guard Tatum, Jalen, and Kemba. And if you don't go to a man-to-man and you stay to a zone, you've got shooters all around on the Celtics. I think the Heat were strong because Adebayo usually took on the paint and the best big guy or forward. But the Celtics are really perimeter-centric, so I don't know how much Adebayo really factors into the series as much as he would have with a different team. I also think the Raptors were able to handle Kemba really well, and the Raptors' defense overall is just better than the Heat. And Jason Tatum, in my eyes, is a better player than Jimmy Butler. So I think that's a bonus to have the best player in the series. The Heat also won the last series with big thanks to Spoelstra out-coaching Budenholzer. And I just can't see any scenario where Brad Stevens gets out-coached in this series. I'm not sure if the Heat also have the same underdog role as they've had so far. And crazy as it sounds, that kind of hurts when you've been playing with house money since October. And this might sound irrelevant, but when Adebayo's off the floor, they can roll out Kanter and hold up with that bench unit, because I don't think Myers Leonard can hold up Kanter. So I like the matchup for Kanter this series, but only when Adebayo's off the floor. So that's why I like Boston.
Yeah, let's look at it. Kanter played 8 minutes in that Raptors series. I think he definitely gets more in this next one.
Yeah.
Brad will definitely trust him more in this series. And I still have Celtics too. I'm not going to... me and you, we have not changed our bracket throughout the entire playoffs. And even if things changed... even if things turned out differently, I wouldn't change it, because I just feel like you should stick to your picks. I'm still going to go with Boston. Not because you like falsely believing in them, just because like you should. You don't want to flip-flop because the team proves you wrong. I'm still going with Boston. I think it'll be Boston Lakers. I think both conference finals can easily go to 6 or 7 respectively, which would be amazing. I'd love that. I don't think we're going to see a sweep like how when Golden State just blew Portland off the floor. Like, I mean, depends on what the Clippers do. I think 3 out of the 4, it's funny. I think the Clippers belong here the least much. Not that they're the most least talented, because they're actually the most talented, but just like Miami's been doing this whole year, Boston. Like, I feel like Toronto deserves it more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they deserve it more for how hard they played.
I want to say the series is going... it could go 5, 6, or 7. I just like Boston. I just think everything favors them.
I'll throw out a number. I'll go 6. Just go right in
6
the
is usually where you go when it's just like, this team has a chance.
Yeah. But honestly, I could see over in 4, but every game is really close.
I could see that too. I just...
like over 4 or 5, but every game is close.
I could just...
like the Indiana series.
I think at some point the Heat thing ends. I think at some point Jimmy Butler doesn't go 2 for 2, 3 for 3 on threes. I think at some point.
He's shooting like 40% from 3, but he's taking like 12.
I think the Celtics are too disciplined to foul him.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so.
My biggest thing is with these conference finals especially, is that honestly I'm watching more in the West, and to be honest with you, I don't think I'm ever gonna root for the Lakers. Like, I don't think I've ever rooted for a team as much, obviously besides the Nets, because those are my guys. Besides the Nets, I don't think I've ever rooted for a team to win as much as the Lakers if they play the Clippers. If Denver wins, then that's different. But if they play the Clippers, and not only am I rooting for what's right and what's wrong and playing hard and not, I'm also just rooting for the league because it's horrible if the Clippers win. It's so bad for the league because now no one's going to care about the regular season and no one's going to try. And I acknowledge the playoffs are a different animal, but I still love watching regular season. Like, it's still basketball. it's still great to watch regular season. I love to see out when guys play hard do I really care about it. And there's so many things that can change over the course of a season, and we're just going to lose out on that if the Clippers, like, dominate these next 2 or 3 years with their load management. And Kawhi and PG are south of 60 games a year, and they kind of just go into the playoffs not knowing who they are, but they'll figure it out because they think they're the most talented. And then every year, it doesn't come down to the little things. It doesn't come down to who wants it more. It doesn't come down to all that stuff where we love guys like Kyle Lowry. You know what it comes down to? Just what team's more talented. And that's not a fun NBA to live in.
Good take. Preach.
I wouldn't want that. And I don't. And I think a lot of people are actually rooting for the Clippers because there's a ton of anti-Lakers stuff in the whole NBA. And I get it. I get that the people don't like the Lakers. They get all the free agents. They're always good. Whatever. I get all that. And I get that the Clippers are, like, kind of the underdog of the LA teams because, like, they're always, you know, when you think of LA, you think the Lakers. You don't think the Clippers. So I get all the anti stuff, but NBA fans, root for the league. Root for showing up to work. Root for guys that play hard, not guys that just rely on their talent. Root for the Los Angeles Lakers. All right, that's it. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, the team I've rooted for the most, other than my own team, is the Warriors. And especially last year, in the Raptors came 5-6. Honestly, felt like it was my own team. I was rooting so hard, and I was so distraught when they lost Game 6. Like,
Game 6, I mean, we're not Warriors fans, but for, like, all the diehard Warriors fans, if there's any even out there that have been with the team throughout the years and years of bad, I just can't imagine how much of a roller coaster that must have been with Klay gets injured, then he runs back, shoots the free throws, and then he's gone, and then the game kind of just ends.
I think for me, that game meant so much just because I had told everybody that Steph Curry was that guy, and then I needed him to just get that ring by himself.
Steph Curry is clearly that guy.
He is, but a lot of
people. And even though he lost, I don't care. Like that just how is Steph Curry not that guy? He's the third or second best player of the last 15 years.
I want to say this one thing. Finals MVP has become the most overrated award in NBA history. People give more credit to Kawhi's ring in San Antonio than any of Kobe's first three rings. That makes no sense.
Like, the whole thing where it's like Kawhi could get three rings and three finals MVPs in three different spots, and everyone's like looking at it in hindsight, like, oh, best player on three teams, three finals, top five all-time player. And it's like, no, that's actually not how it works. He had a good series.
And then they'll disregard Kobe's series with Shaq.
Oh, yeah. When he carried them when Shaq fouled out against Indiana.
Yes, thank you.
People always forget about that. And it's just stuff like that where, you know, he didn't win finals MVP. Or like in 07 when Duncan didn't win finals MVP and Tony Parker got it. You have years like that.
Exactly.
Or, I mean, 2015 when Iguodala won it. There are years like that where a guy will get hot for a few games and mess around and win the finals MVP. And that's one of the reasons why we totally flip our All-NBA teams and our MVP award. It's because of stuff like that. Like, you picked Curry for MVP. And honestly, I mean, I disagreed with it. I still put Kawhi because I thought every series Kawhi was great. I thought Curry slipped a little bit in the Houston series, even though he played pretty well in the elimination games, which are obviously the most important ones. But my whole main thing is I can't fault you for that because for what Curry did that whole year with the cast he had, with the cards he was dealt, you know, I mean, like, that was like, it really slipped under the radar, like, how much of an all-time year Curry had in 2019.
Yep.
And we talk about Curry a lot on this pod somehow, even though he's not even playing. We're definitely going to talk about him a lot next year.
It's because of me. I always bring him up at any moment I can.
He should be brought up, though, because he's that important to the league and what we have right now. But it's the playoffs has been great. The conference finals are finally here. I cannot wait for it to start. And that's all for me. That's all I got.
That's all I've got.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We are going to be back next week. Hopefully, we'll be back fairly soon. It's going to be much easier with only one game a day, conference finals. It's going to be great. We have no idea what's going to happen, but the NBA season is slowly coming to a close, and what a ride it's been to get there. That's it for me, though. Thank you guys for watching. Bye.
Peace.